can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and yes, we are continuing to talk about the Academy Awards, or at least the nominees, and I'm sure that all of you were asking that as soon as you clicked on the podcast. But yes, we are. This episode, we are talking about some more nominated movies. We are talking about The Wife and Cold War. Specifically, The Wife has been nominated, not necessarily the movie itself, but Glenn Close, who is the starring actress, she has been nominated. And then Cold War is not nominated for Best Picture either, but it has three other nominations. So we're going to be talking about this film as well. I just want to start off by saying, I love the Academy Awards, and I enjoy all the fanfare that goes along with it. So I am trying my best to see as many films as I can that have been nominated. This year has been the year I have probably seen the most movies that have been nominated in, you know, various categories. I have enjoyed so many of them. I feel like, to be honest, and this is something that I have spoken about before, I have movie-going anxiety sometimes because I know I'm like, okay, this movie is deep, this movie is intense, I will probably either get scared or really sad or something about it will really disturb me, which I will be thinking about and having some sort of image replay back in my mind for days, weeks, months, maybe even, you know, a random flashback in a few years that will come back to me because of the movie that I'm about to see. And knowing that that is a possibility scares me a lot and makes me very anxious. With that being said, I will say that seeing and forcing myself to go see more movies that I think will be difficult for me to watch has increased my strength. And I'm sure any of you that have had to deal with overcoming fears, I'm sure, you know, you're all like, yes, of course, that is how it works. That's why they say face your fears. And so often I was like, yeah, of course, face your fears. Only when someone else makes you. Not when you are making yourself do it. But I have made myself do it. I have done it for all of you so that we could all come together and, you know, listen and watch these movies and so that I can tell you about them. But I have watched many movies and there are really all of them. Well, most of them are dealing with really difficult subjects and sometimes are disturbing or scary or thrilling or just have really profound images. And I'm a very visual person, so really profound or disturbing images stay with me forever. So yes, I have forced myself to see them so that I could see great art. And the more that I see them, the more that I appreciate how great they are, despite the fact of how they may make me feel and how nervous I may get leading up to the movie or during. And despite all of that, I have done it. I have enjoyed it. I feel stronger. And I'm really excited to talk to you all about these nominated films and hopefully to bring you all an episode about who I think should win in some of the various categories. There has been a previous episode about the Best Picture nominees, and I have expressed some of my opinions about those films. I'm hoping to do that a little more with some of the other nominated films, so we shall see. Anyway, I just want to tell you all that I am progressing in my own personal life. So I want to thank you all for coming along on this great journey of mine. And that brings us to the first film of this episode, which is The Wife. And as I mentioned before, The Wife itself, the film, is not nominated, but Glenn Close is nominated. And just to give you some background on this film, this film premiered at the 2017 Toronto International Film Festival, taking place on September 12th in 2017. It was then theatrically released in the U.S. on August 17th, 2018. The director of this film is Bjorn Runge. I believe he is Swedish, I want to say, and I think this is his first English language film, or at least completely English film. The writers are Jane Anderson. She wrote the screenplay, and then this is based on the novel by Meg Wolitzer, and the novel is of the same name, also The Wife. This stars Glenn Close, who plays Joan Castleman, and Jonathan Pryce, who plays Joe Castleman, her husband. Also, Max Irons as David Castleman, who is their son. And then also Christian Slater as Nathaniel Bone. Nathaniel Bone is a writer, sort of writer, journalist, and he is interested in writing a biography about Jonathan Pryce. And he, well, you'll see, he comes up in the story. So basically, this film is about a wife who is questioning her life choices as she travels to Stockholm with her husband, where he is slated to receive the Nobel Prize for Literature. Glenn Close plays Joan Castleman, who's the wife, and then the husband, Joe Castleman, as I said before, is played by Jonathan Pryce. And this is really, this is an interesting tale. Also really interesting in terms of the Academy Awards, because Glenn Close has won the Golden Globe Award, Critics' Choice Movie Award, and Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Actress for her performance in this film. She's nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actress, and this is her sixth nomination for Academy Award, but she has never won the big prize. So when things like that happen, where it's like they have never won an Academy Award and they might be getting older and they've just been nominated a lot and been in the biz for a long time, I just feel like it's the kind of award that the Academy is just going to give to that person just because, you know, like, oh, they deserve it. They haven't won before. They should get it. Not necessarily, in my opinion, related to their film that they're actually nominated for. I think that happens with actors and also like directors sometimes. And I like sometimes it's like if the film that they are in, like, I don't know if I would say, I mean, it's hard for me to say. I'm not like a Glenn Close expert, but I don't know if I would say this is her best movie ever, like her best role. It's very good, definitely, and she definitely deserves the nomination, but I'm not sure I would say this is like the one that she should win for. But sometimes there are situations where it's like, oh, that person that was snubbed and they should have won for this role, but they didn't. And then I think that sets them up for the situation later where they're just going to get it for something else. Not saying like just going to get it, like they don't deserve it, but they're going to get it for something else because of like their whole career of work, kind of like that. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about if I think she should actually win Best Actress. I mean, she's obviously great. And Glenn Close is a spectacular actress, not just in this film, but in so many other works. She's really very good. So, I mean, it's not like I'm not impressed by her performance. But also, I believe Best Actress to be the only nomination for this film. So really good for Glenn Close. Way to go. Okay, so this film, it made me feel so many things. Really, it is about Glenn Close's character, Joan. And it's kind of about like guilt, but then also the role of a wife. And it begins with the characters, the wife and the husband, Joan and Joe. And they sort of fall into these roles of a writer. And oh, gosh. OK. They're both writers. But let me just preface this by saying, if you have not seen this film, one, you should go see it. You can stream it on many services. I think I watched it on Google Play or something, but you can also watch it on Amazon, etc. Okay, this will probably be a spoiler alert. I'm sorry. So because I've put out the disclaimer, I think I'm going to continue on. So this is about a writer and another writer, a husband and wife, but sort of about a writer and a fake. And the characters become dissatisfied with these roles over time. But as, you know, the world moves forward and also as their writing success continues, they also just continue in these roles. And this kind of monotonous, like, role play is mirrored in their public personas to friends and even their children as homemaker wife and then working dad. And those roles also become more solidified over time as they grow more accustomed to them. Joan really becomes her husband's support, but also his writer. And it's kind of the idea of like, oh, behind every great man is a great woman. And that is definitely what is going on in this story. She refers to herself as a kingmaker in this film. And yeah, that is very, very true in this movie. Joan really is the person who holds up her husband, Joe. And this film, obviously Glenn Close is a little bit older. Both her character, Joan, and Joe are older. They have adult children. They have a daughter and a son, and their daughter is expecting her first child, so they're about to become grandparents. And it's like you've seen their entire lives, them come into these roles and live them out in varying degrees of satisfaction. There are also flashbacks in this movie to like the beginning of their relationship, and I believe the woman who plays Joan younger, like in college, is actually played by an actress who is Glenn Close's daughter. So that is, I learned that fact later, but it's really interesting, and she does a really good job as well. Also, they're married, and this marriage kind of becomes like a prison for Joan, but then a launching pad for Joe, which is definitely something you can like feel some of the bitterness in there, in the relationship. But then you can also feel that there is care. So it's so, I don't want to say realistic, like every marriage is like this, but it has that feeling of very realistic acting, very realistic writing and portrayal. It doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel like, some like intellectual's view of what marriage is and long-term relationship. This feels very real. And I think that's what made it scary to me. And I think that's, again, related to like my movie anxiety. I think that was kind of like the main thing that I was like scared to watch, was I knew it was like a difficult marriage in a way. And I was like, oh gosh, that's going to be hard to watch. So before I continue, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about The Wife.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are continuing to talk about the film The Wife, which stars Glenn Close as Joan Castleman. I just want to continue talking about this film. Something that came up, because I before the break I mentioned that the marriage that is portrayed in this film, it sort of has become a prison for Joan and like a launching pad for Joe in his writing career. But I want to mention there is a question that came up while watching this film. And that question is, who is using who? Because Joe is very obviously using Joan for her writing ability, and all of her writings have become his novels. They're under his name, and it brings him professional success, even if he would never really admit that he's using Joan, or if he doesn't really believe it himself, he really is. But also, you have Joan, who is definitely smart, and has really, like, she has in a moment, in a flashback, it's revealed she can be very unfeeling and sort of cold, even towards, in this flashback, her young son is crying for her attention, and she just kind of completely ignores him and continues writing. So you see that she can be kind of cold and perhaps unfeeling, at least in her past, but she's also very smart, and so it crossed my mind, like, is she using Joe as an inspiration for her next novel? you know, just like gathering material because she's a writer and she has to write in like that part of her can't die, even if it comes at the cost of maybe like her as a woman or as a wife slowly dying. Like, she can't let that part of her to be a writer pass, even if she has to, you know, like, I feel like a lot of artists think that they have to suffer and be really sad to make really good work. And it's like, is she kind of like that? Like, she has to suffer in order for her to be a good writer. And because of like the pain that maybe her marriage brings, she's willing to endure it so that she can keep writing. Like, is she using Joe as an inspiration for her novels? It is hinted that a lot of what she writes is like inspired by their relationship. And it just made me wonder, like, even though I feel like it's obvious that Joe is using her, and he definitely is, I'm not trying to question that, perhaps in a way, Joan is also using him, at least in the past. And when we see them in the present times and he's getting a Nobel Prize, maybe she's like regretting it all and it's all just, it's kind of caving in on her. And that definitely in this film, it definitely is that role as her being the writer and him being the one to take the praise is really like, she's just had enough at this point. I also want to mention this film reminded me of the movie Big Eyes, which is something we talked about on the podcast previously. And it's similar. And I just kind of kept thinking about it and comparing it in my head. Big Eyes is about Walter Keane, who is taking advantage of his wife, Margaret Keane. She, Margaret, is the one making these great paintings. And Walter is claiming to be the artist. And it stars Christopher Waltz and Amy Adams, directed by Tim Burton. And it's a very similar story of like the husband taking advantage of the wife for work. Not that I'm saying this type of situation only happened in one movie, Big Eyes, based off of something that actually happened, or just in a fictionalized version of the wife. I'm sure it happens way more often and is, you know, historically common. It's one that continues to this day. I'm not saying like Big Eyes is the only example that I, you know, that is also out there. So it's not necessarily the wife is copying Big Eyes. It's probably just copying something that happens in real life. But I did definitely think about the comparisons. I also want to mention the cinematography. The cinematography in this film, I felt that it was kind of a traditional use of camera. And there wasn't anything super new or noticeable to me that I didn't find it groundbreaking. It was like the hand of the director was kind of invisible, except that a few times when I felt that I could see the cinematography work. Perhaps, though, that was to allow the actors, the screen, to really shine. There wasn't other camera devices and visuals by the cinematographer and director happening, so that you're really focused on the acting, especially because Glenn Close is so very good in this. I could see that. It's just, it's not to me a complicated use of visuals. They're not using it in a way to extremely, I guess, express the character's emotion. They use it, but I didn't find it to be complicated or novel the way that they did. There's a scene when Joan is standing and behind her you see a window and snow is falling outside the window. And then the camera slowly, like, she's in the foreground and then the depth of field changes and then the background is in focus and she's blurred. And like, you just see the snow falling sort of like to represent her tears, even though she's not really crying in that moment. The like the outdoors and the scenery is crying for her. I'm just saying I've seen that trick before, so I'm not trying to say that it was bad. I just don't think it's super new. And of course, you know, nothing is new under the sun. Like, everything has kind of been done before, but I wouldn't say it was super novel. Which, again, it's not nominated for Best Picture or Best Cinematography, which kind of makes sense to me. But, you know, again, it could have been for the acting. Speaking of the acting, Glenn Close is rightfully nominated. Her role in this film is very complex. She has to express so many emotions. She cares about Joe, and she really supports him. Like, she always, like, gets him his pills, reminds him to take his meds, holds his coat, you know, picks crumbs out of his beard. Like, she's very supportive and she cares about him, but also there's like this resentment, there's this anger towards him, like the classic him asking her, oh, are you okay, and she's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. That definitely happens, even though you know that she's not fine. You can tell she's not fine. Joe could tell she's not fine. So she's really, her role is very complex. Price, who plays Joe, he's also very good. He's really this like narcissist. He quotes like James Joyce all the time. He like has like quirks, like he would like sign his name on a walnut and give to women. Like maybe when he was young, it was kind of cute and like a quirk, but like he's old now and it's just kind of annoying. And like he doesn't have his glasses, so like he can't even really write it very well, and he like misspells someone's name when he tries to write it on a walnut. Like it's not cute anymore, and he sort of is this like, he's very annoying. It's like the classic, the wife is caring for her husband, like mothering him, and you really see that. It's annoying to watch, and I felt really bad for Joan as well, and she just kind of has this quiet suffering to it all, which is really, she does play it very well. And I really felt her role, Glenn Close, she plays this woman and she has to manage, like, who has to express how women manage attention and talent and being recognized, but yet so easily forgotten, you know, and really all of this complexity within a patriarchal society. She is someone who is so talented and smart and quick, yet her husband receives all the attention and, just like someone forgets her name like immediately upon her being introduced, and her husband will say things like, oh, Joan doesn't write, you know. And just to imagine the lifetime of just like, how many times has she had to hear that in her life, that oh, she doesn't write, and just that he gets the attention and she's ignored. I can't imagine. So she plays it very well, just the careful balance between anger but also care. So I'm very impressed. She's very good. As I said, rightfully nominated. I'll be curious to see how that goes. I'll be curious to see if she gets the award for Best Actress. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next film. And this one is Cold War. Cold War, again, is not nominated for Best Picture, but it does have multiple nominations. It is nominated for Best Director. It is also nominated for Best Foreign Language Film and also for Cinematography. So it has three nominations. It's very good. This is still in theaters if you're interested in watching it. If you have like a theater nearby you that might play more foreign language films or independent films, it's very good. I would highly suggest it. This is a historical period drama. It is directed by Paweł Pawlikowski, who also co-wrote the screenplay with Wanuza Glowowski and Peter Borkowski. And it is set in Poland and also France during the Cold War, from the late 1940s until 1960s. And it's about a musical director who falls for a young singer. And the film follows their love story. It's just this beautiful love story between two people of differing backgrounds and temperaments. And it turns into this almost impossible romance. Also, which was very curious, it is loosely based on the lives of Paweł Pawlikowski's parents. It's very curious. I would highly suggest it. Also, as a side note, Cold War is not like the Cold War that many Americans think about. At least that's what I heard, Cold War, and I was like, huh, interesting, like missile threats. But it's not that Cold War. This has to do with the Cold War that happened in Poland, and it was right after World War II. And so really in this like period of history, this like Cold War period in Poland, it's like this period of Soviet dominance and communist rule that was imposed over Poland after World War II. And it's just kind of like Poland was so devastated by the war. Other powers like the Soviets, they come and take over Poland and like reestablish, you know, rule in its borders. And 3 years after like this started, there was general industrialization, urbanization, and improvements in the standard of living. But there's also tons of social unrest, political strife, and really severe economic difficulties. So it was a very interesting time, but very bleak in many ways for multiple people. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about Cold War.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are continuing to talk about the very three-time nominated film Cold War. As I said, this is about the time of the Cold War set in Poland. This film also goes into France as well, and it follows two lovers and their romance. This film stars Joanna Kulig as Zula, Tomasz Kot as Witker, Boris Sizek as Kazimierz. And I felt watching this film, it is almost like this cautionary tale of like love and some of the pain that can come from it. So what happens really is like there's this auditioning of like talent for a choir ensemble, and Wictor, he is the one doing this, and he falls for Zula, who is this young singer, and he's immediately taken by her, and just this like heart-wrenching roller coaster of a love story begins, like from the time that they meet just until the end of the film. And I thought that this film, the most heartbreaking part of it was going to be like about the war, like the title Cold War. I thought it was going to be a sad war story. But I learned that love is really the most impactful and heartbreaking thing. Not war, but love. And it was, it took me on quite a heart journey. This film, it also just has moments when it's like, I think sometimes in romance films, at least in this movie, like it's, you so badly want the main characters to succeed in this romance that you kind of just forgive them for other transgressions they might make along the way, as long as they kind of end up together. Like I feel sometimes you're like, oh, well, just because this person might have cheated on his wife or whatever, it's fine because he's with, you know, the love of his life or whatever. I feel like that happens a lot in romance movies, and I kind of felt that with this movie as well. So that was that was interesting. I also want to mention there was kind of like this general sparseness with the film. The dialogue is sparse, and I thought that it lent itself well to the overall storytelling. I didn't feel that there needed to be more dialogue to let me know what was going on in the plot. Like, I didn't feel like I needed someone to explicitly tell me, like, oh, we're going over here and we're going to do this and then, you know, we're going to escape over here. Like, I didn't feel they needed to do that and do a lot of dialogue setup because I could tell from other things going on, other visuals. But I did feel there could maybe have been a little bit more dialogue between the protagonists just to, like, give a little bit more of a sense of like why they loved each other, maybe a little bit more backbone to the romance. Just as I said, they kind of come from differing backgrounds, and so I was like, I wish there's a little bit more to inform me of why they love each other. But besides really the character development related to the dialogue, I liked the minimal dialogue. It really, like, there was a faith in the audience to understand the story and not to like just have to spoon feed me. And it acted on like, just like, I don't know, I just felt like it was a clever device to really keep you engrossed in the film, because you have to pay attention to everything that happens. You have to watch carefully to see what's going on, and not just rely on characters telling you what's happening. The story is a little bit more straightforward, I felt, in that sense, because they're not just relying on what people are saying. And I didn't feel it needed more in that sense. It was really interesting. I really enjoyed their use of dialogue in that way. I also want to mention the cinematography of this film. You should know the film is in black and white, and I don't at all think that is a deterrent. It is great. I like sometimes watching black and white movies. It gives me this like cinematic feeling. Like I walked out of the theater and I felt like my life was a movie in black and white. Like it was, I don't know, it was inspiring in that way. Also, they really take advantage of the black and white, I guess some of its particular advantages in filming this. It lent itself great to transitions. For example, the camera at one point, you see this old dilapidated church wall, and it kind of like focuses in on this part of the wall. And then the screen is filled with a texture that could be the wall, but then suddenly a car drives past, like drives through the screen, and you realize that you're looking at like a muddy road. And the black and white, it makes your brain think that the road is the old church walls, and it's not, it's the road. And it has it like allowed the director to play this like magical trick on you in this way to transition from scene to scene. It's really well done, in my opinion. I loved that. There's also this great use of light in a particular scene when the characters are on a boat that is going along a canal in Paris at night, and you see the sights along the canal bank, like they're lit up in a light, kind of like I would assume the director and cinematographer are using a spotlight to illuminate different parts along the canal. And it's this white light spotlight that just shines on certain buildings and people, like you're looking at things through a vignette. And it's just, it's so magical, and it has this very romantic view to it. It's almost like a handheld camera, like you're making this like very intimate home video feel. I really loved it. This movie is nominated for cinematography, which I really understand after having seen it. It's very beautiful. And just the quality of the black and white, the grain of it is very good. I feel like sometimes black and white can be sort of like grayed out, but this, they really did, I think, a really good job with the contrast, and I really enjoyed that. Also, along with the visuals, the soundtrack is really good. I mean, it is about a musical director who falls in love with a singer, so you would imagine that the soundtrack is really good. There's just this opening scene that's focusing just directly on someone playing, I think it's like the bagpipes, or there might be a better term for that particular instrument in that particular part of the world when they're in Poland, I believe. But just it focuses in on this musician, and you just hear their music. And just the whole beginning of the film is really focused on music, as Victor and his production team are trying to record folk music just around their country. And it's so beautiful. It drew me in. I really enjoyed that part. And overall, I would say about this film, you should go see it. And if there's any line that stuck with me throughout this film, I mean, many things did stick with me throughout this film. It is very impactful. But if there's one thing, it's that love destroys time. That is something that they say. And I don't know. It just left me thinking. Very good film. It is a foreign language film, so it does have subtitles, as long as you're okay reading that. But that should not at all hold you back. Please go see this movie, and it's spectacular. If you can see it in theaters, I highly suggest it. It feels very beautifully cinematic. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next movie podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.